Thank the Lord that Jesus came and he gave his life. We desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 11th chapter of John, and we're going to read through the 46th verse, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out followed her, saying, "She goeth into the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. It's very seldom that I will read that much, but it is such a wonderful account, and there are things for you and me in this little telling of what Jesus has done and what he has the power to do. But as we look at this passage, and it's familiar to us, I know we've all heard this before. It's been a long time since I have even read it myself. But Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they loved Jesus. They had a close relationship with him, evidently. We sometimes have to read between the lines in some of these things, but I read between the lines that they had a very believing relationship with Jesus. They did not doubt. Their hope was in Jesus. And we have another account just before this where Jesus was at their house, and Martha was the one that seemed to be the server. Mary was the one that loved to sit at his feet and learn. And we find in that little place that Martha was disturbed because Mary wasn't in there helping. And Jesus said something like this, you're troubled about many things, Martha. And he said, Mary hath chosen the best part, the good thing, and it won't be taken away from her. He loved Martha even then. But he loved them all. And Jesus has a love for all of us today. He wasn't partial to them, but it's recorded that way. And it said that he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, it doesn't say anything about their parents, so their parents may have been dead. It doesn't even say they all lived in the same house. It said they lived in the same town or village. So that's all a little bit, you know, just something for our thoughts or our imagination, you might say. But there was something else that was put in here that was sort of added in verse 2, speaking of Mary. And she was the one that anointed Jesus with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. She was that Mary. Now, that's not recorded until the next chapter. And it was 6 days before the Passover. So Jesus was coming down. He knew that the Jews wanted to kill him. His disciples knew that. And I would say Mary and Martha and Lazarus knew it too. They were aware. Now, from the teachings, I believe that they had been informed that Jesus tried to say it to the disciples, that he would have to die. So I'm presuming that he did that also with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so in that next chapter, which is mentioned here in the second verse, Mary came in with some very costly ointment and anointed, one place says, anointed his head and anointed his feet. And there was some complaining, if you remember correctly, that that was a waste. That could have been sold. It could have helped the poor. And Jesus said, you have the poor with you always. But I'm not going to be here always. And he said, she is doing this in preparation, this is my words, for my death. Now there had to have been something revealed to Mary by the Holy Spirit, I say, to demonstrate this. She may not have even realized the full extent of it, but her great love for Jesus, she did this. She poured it out and gave it. The scripture says that the odor of it filled the whole house. And that's a little lesson all in itself. What you and I can do, the odor from our lives can permeate our whole homes, not just the house, our families. The Lord is wanting us to have an odor about us in our lives that will get the attention of our families. That's just a little side thought. But this was that Mary. And I just found it interesting to be reminded of what these three people really meant to Jesus and what Jesus meant to them. But we come down and Jesus knew. He understood that Lazarus was going to die. And they sent for him, and they expected him to come soon, come quickly. But he didn't. And he tarried, and then he said, this is going to be for the glory of God. And as the passage here was being read and it was unfolding, Jesus was glad that he could say to his disciples, really, Lazarus is already dead. It's more than just sleep. But he wanted his disciples to also, it said to the intent that you would believe. That's the purpose of it. This is allowed. Now, would you feel that maybe Mary and Martha might have had a test of their confidence when he didn't come? Were they tested in various ways, tested in their faith? They were tested in their patience. To wait for someone and just to see them, your loved one just go ahead and die and they didn't come, that was hard. And yet they still believed. And you and I will not always understand everything that God does in our life. We won't really understand the purpose. But he has a purpose. And he knows what he is doing and for what purpose. And that's the case with Lazarus. So, I like the part where Jesus showed his own emotion of groaning. I looked at that and read it and I said to myself, I said, it must have been hard for him to know what this purpose was going to do to Mary and Martha. He knew that they would be suffering grief and sorrow and they'd be weeping. But when he was there, he saw it with his own eyes and it affected him. And he said, in the scripture says he groaned within his spirit. And then it said, Jesus wept. He wept with them because he knew they were passing through that emotion for the glory of God. This is what they had to go through in order for the glory of God to be manifested. And I like that part. I believe that the Lord, when he sees the things that you and I go through that hurt us in maybe to the core of our heart, and maybe we are down weeping and praying, I believe he looks on it and he groans also. I can't change this right now, but I want to. See, Jesus might be saying that in your case or my case. I believe that he is also troubled when he sees that we're troubled. I believe that he understands our cares. I know he does. And that he cares about those things that you and I care for. And so that in itself is an encouragement to me. And the thought came to me that there must be suffering before there is joy. And that's what it was with Mary and Martha. They had to go through the suffering of sorrow, pain, maybe questions. Lord, if you would have come, this wouldn't have happened, if you would have only been here. But now it's too late. They felt it was too late. They felt that they would never see their brother in this life again. And they had to suffer that. But there was joy awaiting. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, if we can have those kind of expectations in the Lord. When we're passing through these questionable things and wondering, where is the Lord right now? Is he really here with me? Does he know? Does he understand? If we can pass through those things with expectations also. And there is a song that has been written on this account. And the title of the song is 4 Days Late. And it says, 4 days late and still on time. And if we can have the attitude that the writer has in that song, it will help us in our walk, in our faith, and our patience, and our endurance. It will help us. I want to turn now and read a scripture in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we're going to read 35 through 39. And it says here, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." What is your confidence? Where do you place your most confidence? The scripture tells us over in the Old Testament that we can't have confidence in man. Man fails us. We have a song that says in our book, it says, "We need each other, brethren." And it's a wonderful song. And I believe that we do. We all need each other. I need you. And whether you know it or not, you need me. And we can be a help to one another. But I want to tell you something. We need to have utmost confidence in the Lord. And because it says, there's a great reward for it. When is the reward? It's when I come to the end of my trial or my test or my burden. When I've, and there is an end. Look back over your life. Look back over the trials of your life. Look back over those places that you thought would never come to an end. But it does. It may go to something else. It does go to something else. Something else takes the place of that trial, that burden. But I still have the testimony. And I still have confidence that God is able to take me through and bring me out. We speak about mountains and we speak about valleys. And that is life. Every one of us here today, we have mountaintop experiences. Do you have very many? By faith, we can claim the mountaintop experiences. But I believe it is those valley places that teach us the most. Those are the places that God meets with us and is real. We have a song that says, "My God is real." Well, you might say, "Well, I can't talk to him face to face." How many times have you been down praying and desire so much that the Lord would sit in that chair beside you and talk to you as a man? I've desired it. I've prayed for it. I've begged the Lord, just talk to me. Tell me. It's part of our humanity to want that. But we know he's real. He is there. He is with us. So don't cast away your confidence in the Lord. Now, I'll just have to add this here. I'm going to be giving something this afternoon. And it will help us to have our confidence in the Lord. They'll connect up here. But we'll go on with this. The next verse is, "For ye have need of" what? Patience. We want to talk to us this morning about patience with the Lord. People are so afraid to pray for patience because they say, "Oh, I'll have a test, I'll have a trial, and it'll usually be with my brother or my sister, or it'll be with someone else, some human being." And we do need patience in life for our relationships with one another. We do need patience. But I want to tell you something. You need patience with the Lord. And you need it strengthened and exercised. And it says we need patience that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Promises are there. They're given. They're sure. They don't change. They are there for the taking. Well, you say, I try to take it, but it doesn't happen. Then we have to wait. It says, after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise. It's coming. And then the next verse assures us, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Where's your confidence? Where are you patient with the Lord? Are you patiently waiting for the Lord? When you have done the will of the Lord, do you wait for the promise? Do you say, it is there, it is coming? And he said, he shall come, and he will not tarry at the right time. We might say, well, he's 4 days late. Or we might say he's 2 years late. Or we might put some kind of a time frame on it and say, he hasn't done it yet. But it says he will not tarry. When the time is right, he will come. Thank the Lord. Always have your confidence in him. Be patient with the Lord. Has he been patient with you? Yes. Absolutely. God has been more patient with me than I deserved. He waited on me a long time. He waited for me to come to a place that I could submit myself. So yes, he's calling for us to be patient with him. And then verse 38 says, now the just lives by faith. But if any man draw back, oh, let us not draw back. We know what the scripture says. If we draw back, we're not happy. When I draw back in my spirit and I'm more troubled than I was even before, I'm not happy. But oh, when I wait patiently on the Lord and my expectations are in him and I'm standing on the promises and waiting for the promises, I'm happier. And this says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, but we are not of them that draw back. Determine it. I'm just going to leave that verse right there. I am not going to draw back by the grace of God. I am going to have my confidence fixed in him, thank the Lord. Now let's turn to Luke and the 21st chapter. And this is, I'm trusting the Lord will help me to know how to incorporate this passage with the thoughts already. I'm going to read verses 12 through 15 and verse 19. And the passage here is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he is preparing his disciples for the persecution that is coming into their lives. I say coming, it happened. They were persecuted. And it says, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. These things that the Lord allows in our life is to turn to a testimony. It's the purpose. The trials, the tests. We're not living in a persecution time. But you're not going to make it to heaven without your testings. Do you know what your test is right now? Endurance. When those of the martyrdom, those that were martyred, they might give their life to Christ and in a short time lose their head. It didn't take a long time. But we're in a time of endurance. And so we have a testimony. We have a scripture, I believe we gave it maybe in the last message or the recently, of going from strength to strength. The people of God are going from strength to strength. They're going from battle to battle, from victory to victory, all along the way. And all along the way, you and I need a testimony. We need to be able to tell, this is what God has done for me. Because we overcome by our testimony. It's part of our victory for the next time. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so Jesus is telling them, these are the things you're going to go through, but it'll turn for a testimony. And then he said, settle it. So you and I need to settle some things within our very heart, mind, soul, spirit. Did you know you need to talk to yourself a little bit? And I think the older we get, the more we talk to ourselves. But I have found it is so much better for me to talk to myself all day long. Now, I don't talk out loud, but I'm talking to myself. When the enemy tries to come in like a flood, I'm saying, Lord, see, a lot of it is in prayer. Lord, you lift up a standard. I'm telling you, you're going to need to be acquainted with the Word of God. It's going to have to be in your heart, in your mind. It's got to be in your very life, a permeation of the Word of God. You're going to need it. It's going to be your weapons. It's going to be your victory. It's going to help you to be steady when you're enduring some hard places. And so Jesus said to them, settle it. Settle it in your hearts. Now here's what he said. And this is going to take patience also. Because he gave this in three of the Gospels. He said, don't you meditate before of what you're going to answer. Three times, three Gospels printed this out. And I'm thinking, how do you not meditate of what you're going to say when you know you're facing something, the judge? How do you not meditate? It's in that confidence and in patience, in waiting on the Lord. He is saying here, I want you to wait for me. I don't want this to be your mind. I want this to be my mind. So he said, I don't want you to meditate before what you're going to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom when all of your adversaries, when all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Well, that's quite a place, and I can't say that I've exactly been there, but I think that it will take much patiently waiting. And not letting my mind be saying, oh Lord, maybe I should say it this way and maybe I should do it that way. But I wait. And then you go down to verse 19. And this is why I say it's in our patience, because Jesus inserted then right after this. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. You possess your souls. The scripture says that your soul is in your hands all the time. The same for all of us. We are responsible for our own soul. I've been thinking of this word. It may come to a message, but I've been thinking of this word, weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. Not the kind of waiting on the Lord. But do you feel the weight of your soul? There are many things that God wants us to feel the weight. And our soul is the one thing. First thing, You must feel the weight of your soul and the responsibility for your own soul. And he said, in your patience with, let's say we're impatient with the Lord. Let's say we're not willing to wait on the Lord. We're not willing to be patient. What happens to your soul? Does it prosper? Does it grow? Does it benefit? It does not. It is disturbed. It is ruffled. Your peace is disturbed. And the enemy can take advantage of that place. So Jesus is giving us something here. You're going to have to be patient with the Lord. You're going to have to wait for Him. Amen. You're going to have to wait for the answers. I've prayed for this for years. Wait until the answer comes. Wait on the Lord. In your patience, possess ye your souls. I gave some words here about patience. What requires patience? Trust. Trusting in the Lord requires me to be patient. Waiting requires patience. Endurance requires patience. And yet believing in the midst of it all. Now I have the definition, two definitions for patience that came from Cruden's, Cruden's, what is it, honey? Concordance. One of those senior moments. This is what it said, and it is so good, and I hope that you can, if you have a comment, I've got that word in my mind now, concordance. It gives the definition when you look under patience, and it says it's the grace which enables us to bear afflictions and calamities with constancy. That's another word that's on my mind. Constancy. And calmness of mind and with a ready submission to the will of God. Now that's quite a lengthy definition. The grace which enables us to bear afflictions. You know, afflictions can be of the body. It can be of the mind. It can be of the spirit. But it can also just be trouble. Calamities. And you do it with a ready submission to the will of God. It will pay you and me to have the same attitude as Christ in the garden. Lord, take this cup from me. But if it's not your will be done. You have a cup, I have a cup. And if we will be submissive to the will of the Lord, He'll cause that cup to work for our good every time. Do you believe it? Amen. Can you say, oh, there was a time it did not work for my good? If it did not work for your good, there was some place in there that you took your own way. But if you'll give your way and your will, God will turn it for your good every time. I promise. The word of the Lord promises. The next definition said, it is an humble and submissive waiting. Waiting for an expectation of the accomplishment of God's promises. I need that, don't you? That kind of patience, being patient with God. Lord, help us. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter now. And we're going to look at the first 5 verses of the 5th chapter. And it says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. You cannot get grace without some portion of faith. Seek God for faith. Don't be afraid to ask for an increase of faith. We need an increase of faith all along the way till we die. The scripture tells us that if you and I have faith as a grain, just a grain of mustard seed, that we would be able to say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. Now that is almost beyond my faith. Now I understand that's not talking about a literal mountain, but I have faced mountains before that weren't removed immediately. But as I waited, as I had patience, the Lord removed the mountain and he gave the faith. So faith starts out. It is something that has to continually be developed and grow. And it is developed through the testings of life. It's just like they say, and I have to take their word for it. I don't study trees, but they say that these big trees have stood many storms, and it forms the strengthening of the part of the trunk to develop in that side that maybe the wind was blowing against it. I take their word for it. But I believe in my walk with the Lord, it is those things he allows to come in my life that will strengthen my faith just a little bit. I don't understand it totally, but I do know the Lord gave it to me in prayer a number of years ago. And I feel that by faith I can see it, but I don't have words to say how. And the thing is this, affliction does something to the spirit of a man. It does something to the soul. There in suffering, there is a portion of that suffering that is cleansing my spirit and my soul. I can't explain it any better than that. But let us not push back on affliction. Let's say, Lord, work it for my good. Strengthen me by this. Strengthen my faith. Strengthen my confidence and help my patience to wait for the answer. And so it says here, by whom we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, Dalen sang us a song, and he called it a song of hope. And our hope is in that fact, that there is coming a day. There is the day of salvation right now. But there is coming a time that Jesus is going to come back for his people, and that's where that thing gives me hope. And verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Do you glory in your tribulations? It's very hard to do that. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It puts me on my knees. It brings tears. It brings groanings in my spirit. And when I am truly in tribulation, it is night and day. I may sleep, but when I wake up in the night, I'm crying out to the Lord in my tribulation. We glory in it. It's not that we're jumping for joy for the pain and the suffering and the heartache and the grief. It's not that. We are glorying in the fact that he is working a work in us some way. He's causing it to purge me and purify me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He's shaping me. He's molding me. He's fashioning me. He's going to strengthen me and settle me and establish me. And it takes that. Oh, we should glory in it, that it's working for our good. And then it says, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. It's going to help me to be more patient with the Lord. And do you know, it will probably help you to be more patient with yourself. We sometimes have to be patient with ourselves because of our failures. The enemy wants to bring up our failures all the time, remind us of it, discourage us. Someone was talking to us just recently, and they were in that place, and they were being affected because of all their past failures. And I've said this here before, but I gave it to them. And I said, you know, when I've been in Walmart and a theme song of a movie comes on that we saw many years ago, and I could give my mind to it and recall it, and that thing has been repented of and is under the blood, but what I say to defeat the enemy is, Lord, I still am sorry. To still be sorry for your past failures is not saying you're repenting over again. He's forgiven it. It's under the blood. He remembers it no more. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west. But I believe the Lord is pleased when we say, I still am sorry. I'm not going to take any pleasure in that at all. I'm sorry for my failures. Tribulation is going to work something in you. Patience. Then patience worketh experience. As you gain knowledge of how to fight these battles, that's giving you knowledge. That's giving you understanding. And then experience, what does it give us? Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of. As we walk this way, oh, we may feel ashamed of our failures. And I don't want us to be proud, but I want to tell you, when we have this hope, we have nothing to be ashamed of. So the next scripture that we have is Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and through part of 7. And it says, you, this is, you won't read the word you there, but this is a command sentence. And we always know that in a command sentence, the subject is you. So you, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And the first part of the next verse says, I'm wording it this way, it shall be spiritually healthy. It will add health, it says, to parts. I believe the Lord wants us to be healthy spiritually. And then we're going to end with James, the first chapter, and verses 2-4. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I'm going to say that's hard to do too. It's hard to feel joy when you're in divers is many kinds of temptations. but it has a reason. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work. Does patience perfect us? I believe it's the purpose of it. It's working that work in us. Like we said, it's shaping us. It's doing something to us. So let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. You know, a lot of people draw back from that word. Oh, no, nobody's perfect. Has anybody ever, you ever heard that? Oh, nobody's perfect. I've heard that a lot. I might even say, well, I'm not totally perfect. But you know, he's calling us to a perfection in him. Yes. We can't be perfect in ourselves. But when we have the power of Christ working in us, he will, the scripture says, he will perfect that which concerneth you. That which is in your life, he's perfecting us. And the scripture says that you and I may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Now, I know, and you know, that God is willing to work a lifetime for you and me. And he is perfecting us all along the way. And there is that song that little children sing. Well, we sing it too. It's not just children. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I thank the Lord that he's patient with me. But he's saying to me, you be patient with me. The Lord is saying, you wait on me. You endure hardness as a good soldier. Pray for me.